Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Great to be joined, as always, by Bob Nightingale, USA Today. My friend, welcome back. Great to have you with us again.
Yeah, my pleasure, Steve.
All right, so, Bob, where do we stand today?
Well, they met this morning for about 30 minutes, and they're meeting again this afternoon. So, I mean, it's like anything else. Everybody wastes the deadline. Deadline's midnight Monday. I still think that if they're close, they could push a book back to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I have a hard time believing they can't get a deal done by the by the end of next week.
Well, where, in your opinion, based on your reporting, where do they need to close the gap so they feel comfortable they can close it out?
Well, they haven't even started talking about the collective bargaining tax yet, the luxury tax. So that's a little worrisome. They're still far apart there. But, as far as a salary arbitration, now it's like, the players have said, okay, how about the top 75% of the guys who have 2 years service? Baseball is 22%, top 22%. And there's a big difference in the money as far as how much is in that pool. Whether it's a $95 million difference between the two sides. But, and even, the minimum salary, they're far apart, but they can easily meet in the middle and give about $700,000 for minimum salary. It used to be $570,000. So I think the owners are on board as far as giving younger players the money. Where they differ is that they still want to penalize the teams that spend big to help out the small market teams.
Is there a sense of urgency on each side?
Well, yeah. I mean, MLB yesterday told the players, hey, if we don't get a deal done by Monday, we're going to have to delay the start of the season. And not delay it, just, cancel games. If we cancel games, you're not getting paid. So there's a sense of urgency there. The players responded by saying, well, then we won't give you a expanded playoffs. You won't be able to wear, decals and patches on corporate sponsors on uniforms, that sort of thing. So I think, no one's presented our best offer yet. I think that's going to come, Sunday, Monday.
Best offer. Okay. I was hoping the best offer would be made last July, but that's all right.
Okay. I mean, it's like they've had all, they could talk about this all summer long, all winter long. But when the lockout happened on the midnight December 1st, there was another bargain negotiation for 43 days. And they only had six, from then. Then finally, of course, sat down in Jupiter, Florida, where they are now. And this is the fourth straight day they've talked. First time they've ever they've talked four straight days.
You love baseball. I love baseball. Right? So we both love the game of baseball, the sport of baseball. I wonder sometimes if those in baseball think it's still 1956 where it's baseball, boxing, horse racing, and they don't know it's 2022. That's just my opinion from 30,000 feet. How do you view how they view themselves in the big picture of what sports is?
Well, I think there's some worry there. They got to be worried. I mean, I bet you, Steve, 90% of the country didn't know there was a lockout until Monday after the Super Bowl. It's like, what do you mean spring training's not happening? Right. People weren't talking about baseball. There was a, Gen Z survey nationally, a month or two ago, and, 21 under adults only had baseball as their sixth favorite professional sport, even behind beach volleyball. Tennis has dropped down four straight years. Lowest rated World Series of all time was last year. So they got some problems.
Do they realize they have problems? It's one thing for you and me to recognize there's a problem. Did they realize that?
Well, they should. Just with the popularity, with the declining attendance, declining TV ratings, it should be a wake up call. We'll see how many sellouts there are this year. I think season ticket sales are down about, or ticket sales in general down about 30% across the board. people are kind of discussing what's going on, and that a lockout is even happening. So even when this lockout ends and you start playing baseball, they haven't done anything to change the game. We're still going 6-8 minutes before balls being put in play. You know, more strikeouts than walks. So that part hasn't been addressed whatsoever.
Which was going to be my next question. Bob's done the show so many times, he anticipates my next question. and my next question was going to be about that. I don't know if I'm right about this. My understanding was the players were willing to talk about game changes and how the game has changed, but the owners didn't want to at this particular time because there are they want to get to the economic issues. Am I right or wrong about that?
Well, I think, yeah, the owners didn't want to bog it down. Like, you know, we got enough problems to solve on economic issues. Let's don't mess around with this. It's a, it's the same waste of time. But they just didn't want to get involved in it. So they said, let's say this. I mean, if they wanted to, Rob Manfred and MLB office can implement it by giving 1 year notice. So you can still do that before opening day. And he definitely wants a pitch clock. But, yeah, I mean, they hired Theo Epstein and everybody else to try to make changes in baseball. And, it's not going to happen for a couple of years.
It's interesting because right now, obviously, I've got another basketball game to do with Northwestern on Friday night. The late Dave Gavitt, when he put together the Big East, always talked about how college basketball needs to fit into two-hour windows for TV. Okay. We know, hockey's about 215. Now, football has gone longer because of incomplete passes, but it should be in that 3 to 315 range. Baseball, of course, doesn't have a time frame on anything. Do they realize the TV windows, which also satisfies ballpark windows, need to start being satisfied?
Well, yeah. I mean, and the time of game keeps going on. It's like, at 3:11 last year. But
yes.
It's not the time of the game. It's just the inaction. I mean, 6 minutes before a ball is put in play.
Right.
2,000 more strikeouts than hits. Someone said to me, I thought it was perfect, is that if the NFL was like baseball, you would have a quarterback stand back and throw a bomb on every play. Hey, it's cool when it works, once or twice a game. And that's what's happening in baseball. We're just kind of waiting for a home run. Okay, that last 30 seconds of action. But there's no rallies. I mean, the beauty about the NFL or, college football is the drives. And baseball, it's the rallies. And we don't have it anymore. We don't see guys getting on base and that sort of thing. There's so many former players, Hall of Famers, Goose Gossett, John, that they just discuss it with the game. They say it's hard to they can't watch it.
I do respect people who put together analytics. I do. It's not as if I'll sit there and use a stat here and there when the moment is right when I'm broadcasting a game. But I've felt of late that those who love sabermetrics feel it is the only way to win a game, while I look at it as one of the ways to win a game. How do you view that?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta watch the game. It's like when Cash of Tampa Bay, pulled out Blake Snell. I know that was their system or everything else, but you got to watch how he's doing it. The analytics is just, math. It's taking away the human element. Don't tell me a guy can, a pitcher can pitch the same way in the ninth inning as the seventh inning. They can't. Guys are different. If there's a one-run lead, some guys can handle it, some guys can't. Same with pressure moments and things like that. So, analytics has always been part of the game. I mean, it's like math. I remember sitting in the Whitey Herzog's office, and he had spray charts on where guys are hitting, but nobody, said, okay, this is the, it means everything. Let's take out the human element. And that's not right.
Right, and that's different. All right. So there's been, as time has gone in recent years, you talked about spray charts. Spray charts also mean shifts. All right, because you're taking all that knowledge and saying, hey, this is where he hits it. These are his hot spots, so you cover it. Every sport has restrictions on movement somewhere. Baseball defensively does not. Do they need, in your opinion, to think about restricting shifts, just go two left, two right?
They may have to. I mean, at some point, you know, you would hope the hitters would adjust. Like, okay, hit the ball the other way. If there, you know, nobody standing, you know, on the left side of second base, you know, you can't lay down a bunt or slap the ball that way and probably get a double out of it. But yeah, maybe you at least start in the dirt. Everybody's got to be in the dirt when the ball is thrown. Then you can run out to on short right field or you know what have you. You know, maybe that try that in moderation. So I understand, particularly left-handed hitters being frustrated, that sort of thing. But but take advantage of when they're giving you that much space. To hit a ball to the left side and literally you can run to second base. Nobody's around. So, but yeah, we'll see. I think they may have to do something on that just to. Do something to help the hitters because it's tough to watch.
I was at a game at Fenway Park, and the Red Sox were playing the Royals, and David Ortiz came to the plate. And, of course, they had three guys on the right side. I think in this case it was the third baseman that was playing in the shortstop spot. And Ortiz dropped a bunt down the third baseline. And, of course, even for David Ortiz, he beat it out with relative ease. Okay. Okay. And everybody gave him a standing ovation. So I've seen it. I've witnessed it.
I had breakfast a few days ago. Goose Gotches. You were talking about Boone Powell. He said they shifted on Boone Powell. He goes, Boone Powell laid down by five straight bunts. That's that end of that. They quit shifting on Boone Powell. It's take what they give you.
Right, exactly. What's this been like for you who loves covering the game, covering personalities, being at a ballpark, to cover the sport this way and what they're doing right now?
Well, it's tough to watch. I mean, some of these games are so dull. It's like I don't mind long games. And when they're exciting, whether it's some of these World Series games, those games in WBC, are really exciting, and just have to see some action. And so the trouble is now, the last couple of years, with the COVID restrictions, so you're not in the clubhouse talking to players or manager coaches, just a Zoom call type thing. You're not seeing the baseball scouts around, so you're not talking to them. So you're relegated to just sitting there and watching a game that's become dull. I mean, I love the postseason. I'm not saying the postseason is dull. But there's too many games that just take forever without a ball being put in play.
Yeah, because I was talking to Corey Provis, who does the Twins, and Jason Benetti, who does the White Sox. And they both do Big Ten basketball. That's why I've had a chance to talk with them along the way. And, of course, because of COVID, they can't really get around the batting cage that often. How tough has that been to get away from that part of it? And are you concerned that they will continue to keep you away from it?
Yeah, I mean, the interaction's nothing like it was, the restrictions are being, reduced or completely eliminated, in different states now and, municipalities. So hopefully they'll let us back in. I did read where the NBA is going to keep reporters out for, maybe forever. They were saying that at the All-Star game. So we'll see. Major League Baseball, at least the communication department, said, hey, everybody's allowed in. You're allowed in pending union approval. So we'll see what the union says. I mean, I can't see being back in a clubhouse in spring. It's going to be too wild. And, let's ease off a little bit with the guys coming from everywhere with COVID. But at some point during the year, I don't think you got to get back in the clubhouse and just get some nice, personality pieces and perspective so people know who these players are.
That's the part they need to understand. You tell their stories, right? And the vast majority of the stories, are good, right? And fun.
Particularly in baseball where, come from every walk of life and, you can look like, you can be 6'10" or 5'3" and, have the same kind of career. There's so many good stories in baseball.
Yeah, and you guys tell them. Finally, what's it been like for you trying to cover this and the economics of it and as opposed to covering a game?
Well, it's just so strange. I mean, I don't think 99% of baseball fans could care less just hey, when does the season start? When is the lockout ending? And I don't think they care for the drips and drabs of the labor negotiations. You know, now it's starting to heat up until Monday. You know, they got to cancel another game, week of spring training games. That's going to come here in a few days. But yeah, it's just a not what anybody wants. I mean, the postseason is my favorite time of the year. Spring training is my second favorite time. I love spring training, seeing guys relax. You haven't seen guys all winter, and now that's eroded big time.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, Steve.